أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون. صلوات We have reached to the eve of the shahadat of Imam Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. This is the third majlis in the series of majalis where I'm looking at the passage in the salawat which is there in Dua-i Iftitah, the section of salawat on the Prophet and his family. I just selected one part of it, which is the salawat on Amir al-Mu'mineen. And by looking at that, you know, we come to realize the position of Ali in the words of Imam Mahdi ajallallahu ta'ala farju sharif. Because as I mentioned, Dua-i Iftitah has come to us from the present Imam. And in that section on salawat on Imam Ali, he began by saying, Allahumma wa salli ala Aliyin. And then he describes the qualities of Ali. That Allah send your blessings on Ali. The very first attribute was ala Aliyin Amir al-Mu'mineen, which we discussed the night before. And then he says, وَوَصِيِّ رَسُولِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, which was what we discussed last night. And then he goes on, the theme for tonight is, وَعَبْدِكَ وَوَلِيِّكَ. The first quality when he describes Ali as Amir al-Mu'mineen is the relationship of Ali to the people. He is the Amir of the believers. The second one, وَصِيُّ رَسُولِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, is the relationship of Ali to the Prophet. He is the wasi and the successor of the Prophet. Then Imam Asr comes and says, عَبْدِكَ وَوَلِيِّكَ. Allah send your blessings on your slave and your wali, your friend. These are the two words we would like to concentrate tonight. And this is where we come to realize that these are related to Ali's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first was with Ummah, the second one was with Rasul, and this third description of Abd and Wali is in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat from the Iqbarat. When the Imam describes Ali alayhi salam is abdika. Wallah, he is your servant. He is your slave. When we use these words, you know, for the modern mind of the 21st century, they will say this doesn't sound right. The whole connotation of slavery comes in. Whereas you have to look at this, these terms from a very different angle. Nothing to do with the issue of slavery that we have seen in the human society. The term abd means a slave. And basically this word in the Islamic theology expresses this essence of abdiyat or ubudiyat, which means the expression of humility and servitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that sense, we are using this word abd, a slave or a servant. Because if you look at the word abd, a slave is fully owned by the owner. Whatever he has, he says, these are my clothes. This is my bed. This is my room. These are my utensils. All the worldly possession that he has, and the slave says, these are mine. All those things, including himself, is the property of the owner. And when we use this word Abdullah, A person is the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's kind of the relationship we are talking about. And this is where we come to realize that when we talk about Islam, the word Islam, submission to the will of God, we are asked to willingly submit to the will of God, that there is nothing but what He wants. And that is, in essence, to be the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the ibadat, say the word abd and ibadat, all comes from the same root. Where you're talking about prayers or fasting, the purpose of ibadat is nothing but to train us to cultivate the spirit of ubudiyyat, humility and servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Quran, in Surah number 51, ayat 56, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. What does he mean by that? That I have not created the jinn and the human but for one purpose. يَعْبُدُونَ means what? To do namaz all the time? No. Here the word لِيَعْبُدُونَ is to become the abd. I have created you free, Allah says. I have given you the free will. You are not a robot. And I want you to willingly to submit to me. And so this whole concept of the purpose of life is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the highest point of ubudiyyat is when a person totally submerges himself into the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our spiritual masters call it the state of fana'i mutlaq, where you submerge yourself into the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, this is a state where you don't do anything. But after seeing whether, is this what my Lord wants or not? You know, it is actually in the sense when, if you just do want to understand at a very simple level, in Ziyarat al-Waris on Thursday nights, and we had a lengthy discussion in Shaban about it, the commentary on Ziyarat al-Waris, there is this passage where we say to Imam Hussain alayhi salam, قَلْبِي لِقَلْبِكُمْ سِلْمْ وَعَمْرِي لِعَمْرِكُمْ مُتَّبِعْ. What does that mean? Then my heart, O Hussein, submits to your heart. Means I don't have a heart anymore. I don't have a desire anymore. I don't have a will anymore. وَعَمْرِي لِعَمْرِكُمْ مُتَّبِعْ. And my wish is your command. So that's one level of ubudiyyat, where we are saying that we are submerging ourselves to you, O Hussein, and through him, Rasulullah, and through Rasulullah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat.
Allah, Muhammad, one more request, please, brother, if you can just stand and move forward, please, there are more people coming, please, if you can just stand and move forward. But Muhammad, Muhammad, salawat.
I would like to bring you to a point to understand the essence and importance of the term abd when it is used in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the Imam Asr would use that term for Ali, that Allah send your salawat on your abd. Wali comes later on. And this is where we have to realize that being a true and perfect abd is actually peak of perfection and kamal. There is nothing about that. This even comes before wilayat. That's why Imam Asr doesn't say, "Oh Allah, send your salawat on your wali and your abd." He says, "On your abd and on your wali." Not only that, if you look at the tashahud, how do we describe Rasulullah? After saying, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah," what do we say? We don't use the kalima format there. We say, "Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu." It means to be abd is so important that it comes even before being a rasul. Means rasul has reached to that level where he has totally submerged himself into the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is such an important position or term that when he talks about the most important miracle in the life of the Prophet, Mi'raj. What is Mi'raj? Mi'raj means ascension to the highest point in the universe. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described that in the first ayat of Surah Isra, Surah number 17. Look at the way he talks about himself first. Because that miracle was a very great miracle, even portraying the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To take a human being to the outer space. And so he begins by himself. Subhanallazi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Blessed is the one who took his abd in the night journey from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. And then later on. The point is, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, Subhanalladhi asra bi Muhammadin O bi Rasulihi, O bi Habibihi, all different words he could use. This is the most important point. It's an essential to the highest point. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the term abd for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now that we understand this importance of the term abd, this is where we see why Imam Asr chose the term abd of Allah, your servant or your slave, for Amir al-Mu'mineen. Because if you look at Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was into that state of fana fi zatillah. He totally submerged himself in the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm not talking about ghuluv here. Don't misquote me or misunderstand this. Which means that now Ali didn't have any will. He didn't have any desire. No command, nothing. Everything is him. And actually he says, and nobody has said this before Ali or after Ali. In a very famous statement that we have, he says, "Ma ra'aytu shay'an," that I have not seen anything, "illa wa ra'aytu Allah qabluhu wa ba'duhu wa ma'ahu wa fiyuhu." I have never seen anything, but I see Allah before it, after it, with it, and within it. Salawat manayi akbar. And when you go into that level of fana, where you become the absolute abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you actually emerge as a mazhar and a manifestation of the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a hadith Qudsi in our sources where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again uses the same term. He says, "Abdi أطعني حتى أجعلك مثلي. O my servant, O my slave, obey me totally so that I can make you like myself. The only difference would be my power is my power. What you have now is my gift to you. That is where you see, you know, Isa ibn Maryam. You say, I know what you ate today. I know what you have hoarded in your houses, in your stores. He says, bring the sick and the leper and even the dead. I can cure them and bring the dead back to life. But then he realizes he's not God. And so he uses the word bi'ivunillah. Allah does all this thing. But those who submit totally to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, I can make you like me with the difference that I am me, my power is my own, your power depends on my will and my wish. Salawat Pranay Parah. And so when you hear this word, wasalli, Allahumma wasalli ala aliyin, amir al-mu'mineen, wa wasiyir rasooli rabbil alameen, wa abdika wa rasoolik, don't say, what is this? Ali is a slave? No, this is the peak of perfection. That's where you see that the hand of Ali, whenever holding Zulfiqar, it doesn't do it because of the desire of Ali. Remember the incident? I don't have that much time to go into details. When he put Amr ibn Abdawud in the Khandaq battle down, and this fellow, the most courageous of Arab warriors, spat on the blessed face of Ali. Ali stood up for a moment. He was a human being. He wanted to calm himself down and put down his anger, because Ali didn't want to use his hand out of his anger. He wanted to do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And that's where we say that the hand of Ali is not the hand of Ali, it becomes Yadullah. When you look at the eyes of Ali, when he looks at things, he is not looking at from that ordinary perspective. He wants to see what is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's where the eyes of Ali becomes Aynullah. When you look at the tongue of Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he speaks, not out of his own wish, he only speaks what is haq and according to the command of the haq, and therefore his tongue becomes Lisanullah. Salawat upon the Ikbarah. So how do we attain that level of abdiyat or ubudiyat? We have to do that by dedicating ourselves totally to the will of the Imam of our time, and through him to the Prophet, and by extension we become the true abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I use this connection, even in the case of Ali, this was very important. He is Abdullah, but at the same time, he is also Abd of Rasul. There is a narration from our sixth Imam in Usul al-Kafi by Sheikh Kulaini, where he says, وَجَاءَ حِبْرٌ مِنَ الْأَحَبَارِ إِلَىٰ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that one day, one of these religious leaders of the Ahl-e Kitab, could be a Christian or from the Jewish community, came to Amir al-Mu'mineen. And then he asked him a question, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Mata kana Rabbuka? Since when does your Lord exist? And Ali said, what are you saying? Sakalatka ummuk. I don't want to translate that. It's a very harsh expression. He said, what are you saying? Mata lam yakun hatta yuqalu mata kana? When did Allah not exist that you can ask me, when he came to existence. You're asking me a question about time limit there? Allah has been there all the time. And then he says, Kana Rabbi qabla al-qabl bila qabl. My Lord was there before even the concept of before existed. My Lord, my Lord existed before the concept of before existed. And he will be there till the end before even the concept, until the even concept of ending has ended. وَلَا مُنْتَهَ لِغَايَتِهِ إِنْ قَطَعَ الْغَايَاتِ عِنْدَهُ. Nothing, everything ends with him. فَهُوَ مُنْتَهَ كُلِّ غَايَةٍ. When this religious scholar is from Ahl Kitab, when he heard these words, he was really mesmerized. Very spontaneously, he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Afa Nabiyun Anta? Oh Ali, are you a Nabi? And this is where Amir al-Mu'mineen says those words, Innama waylak, woe to you, Innama ana abdun min abidi Muhammad. And I'm nothing but an abd, a slave from the slaves of Muhammad. This is where we are talking about the importance of this term, abd, when Imam Asr uses that in relation to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Salawat upon him. اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين وعبدك ووليك. What does wali here mean? And this is important. Even the sequence is very important. That first comes abd and then the position of vila. Wali, basically, we would translate here as the friend of Allah. As the way we say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah Aliyun Waliullah. But the word Wali also has two different dimensions. In relation to Allah, it means friendship or love. In relation to the Ummah, it means leadership. But here, Imam Asr is talking about Waliyik, that Ali is, oh Allah, your Wali. So your friend. And when we look at the concept of friendship here, a wali of Allah is somebody who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that level, we have thousands of awliya. People go to visit many, many graves of the awliya. But the essence of wali here is that not only that the wali loves his Rabb and his Lord, rather the Lord also loves his wali. This has to be a two-sided or mutual relationship of love, from Abd to Rabb and from Rabb to Abd. That's where you attain the position of being the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my proof is the ayat of Quran from Surah Ali Imran, ayat 31, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. O Muhammad, say to your followers, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. If you follow me, Allah will love you. So you have two love here. The human being loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah loving the human being. What is the link between there? Ittaba'i Rasul. To follow Rasulullah. When we look at this issue, this is where it's very easy for each one of us and for millions of Muslims around the world to say we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But has anyone come back with a certificate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say that he loves me? Nobody. There is only one example. Only one example in the life of the Prophet where this mutual love of the Abd to Rab and Rab to Abd has been confirmed. Where we would know that from? From Rasulullah. And you know the story, I don't want to spend time in the details. When the Prophet went for the Battle of Khaybar, you know, he sent the army under a prominent Sahabi. One day he came back, nothing happened. Second day, another Sahabi was sent. Third day, a leader from the Ansar was sent. All those came back unaccomplished. Then the Prophet kind of got disappointed, and he announced. And these words are from Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari. Narration is from Sahal bin Sa'd al-Ansari, an Ansari Sahabi of the Prophet. He says, on that day the Prophet stood up, and he says, tomorrow I will hand over the flag, the command of the army, to Rajulan, to a man. Now that's where the Shias go, and that's think that they think that's the end of the story. Hamara pure nare jo hai usi pe khatam ho jate hain. You know, the more longer version, I'm just using Muslim and Bukhari here, which says rajulan karrar an ghayra farrar. Okay? What we do not realize that the fazilat of Ali is not in those words. What is after that? He says, tomorrow I'll give the command to a man, yuhibbu Allah wa rasuluhu, who loves Allah and his messenger. Not only that, this is him loving Allah and the Rasul. Wa yuhibbuhu Allah wa rasuluhu, and Allah and Rasul also loves him. Yaftahu Allah ala yadayh, Allah will grant victory on his hand. فَبَاتَ النَّاسِ يَدُوكُونَ لَيْلَتُهُمْ. The entire night, the whole Muslim army was wishing, oh, I be that person. According to Mufti Sheikh bin Baaz, a Wahhabi Mufti who died a few years ago in Saudi Arabia, somebody asked about this hadith from Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. He writes the comment there, agrees that this is absolutely right. And he says, you know, this is very important. Because all the Sahaba loved Allah and Rasul. So he's giving his certificate to them about that. But he says, but to say that Allah and Rasul loves him, specifically an individual, this is nowhere except in this case. So he says this is a very unique fazilat. And then he agrees who was given that. And then next morning, so everybody was there, hopefully, maybe they were praying 100 rakat that night. We don't know. Or at least do the nazar. If I get this, I'll do that. Next day, Rasulullah looked around. And then he says, Aina Ali bin Abi Talib? Where is Ali? He was told, well, he has not been feeling well. He has an ailment in his eyes, cannot see properly. So then Rasul should have then selected somebody else. But he doesn't do that. He says, bring him. He asked him, what is the problem? He says, well, I have this, you know, pain in my eyes. Rasulullah takes his saliva, puts it on the eyes, and that was an immediate healing and shafa. Gave him the command and the flag, and he says, Ali, go. Go to the battlefield, call them towards Islam. If they accept, that's fine. If they don't accept, ask them to come under the rule of the Islamic government. And if they do not even accept that, then you can initiate the battle. And this is where, you know, Amir al-Mu'minin went, and you know the rest of the story. And so in the Islamic history, if there is any incident where there is a certification from the divine sources that a person loves Allah and Allah also loves that person in return, is only in the case of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. When you talk about this position of abdiyat, followed by this vilayat, the love between Ali and Allah, this is where you come to realize that Amir al-Mu'mineen, whenever he saw something, when he talked to someone, whatever he did, everything was with the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where we see that, you know, he was a leader like unlike anyone else. We know about his justice, his kindness, his integrity. Ali never compromised when it comes to haq and batil and right and wrong. Let me end with one example before we go towards the masaib. There is a person by the name of Ash'as bin Qais, a prominent figure in Kufa, a hypocrite. He was also one of those who facilitated, you know, Ibn Muljim's coming into Kufa. He had a case with one of the judges under Ali. And somehow he's also related by marriage to the family of Amir al-Mu'mineen. So he came one day to visit Ali with a flask or a bottle of honey. And Amir al-Mu'min looked at it. Honey normally is sweet. But for Amir al-Mu'mineen, it was very bitter. It was like poison. Because he could see through the intention of this fellow. And so he says, Asilatun am zakatun am sadaqatun. What is this? Is this zakat? Is this charity? Is this sadaqah? فَذَلِكَ مُحَرَّمٌ عَلَيْنَا أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ. All this is haram for us. So he says, no, this is not, you know, charity, this is not zakat, this is hadiyah. And I didn't realize, you know, he has a case in the court, and this is actually not a hadiyah, this is a bribe. A simple item, you know, maybe a bottle of honey. What does Ali say about it? He says, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أُعْتِيتُ الْأَقَالِيمَ السَّبْعَ بِمَا تَحْتَ أَفْلَاكِهَا أَلَا أَنْ أَعْصِ اللَّهَ فِي نَمَلَةٍ أَسْلُبُهَا جِلْبَةَ شَعِيرَةٍ. He says, even if I'm given all the domains of the seven heavens and everything which is under it, I'm given that domain and kingdom of the seven heavens so that I may disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by as little as snatching one jalba sha'iratin fi namlatin. By snatching one grain of barley from the mouth of the ant. Just try to visualize. How big is the ant? How small would be that, you know, grain that the ant is trying to eat? And Ali is being told, you will be given the domain of seven heavens and everything underneath it. You only have to do one thing. Deprive this ant of its food. He says, Wallahi, I will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says to Ashras bin Qais, that remember, إِنَّ دُنْيَاكُمْ عِنْدِي لَأَحْوَنُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ فِي فَمِّ جَرَادَةٍ تَقْضَمُهَا. That this world that you have, the wealth of this dunya, the position, even the khilafat that you have given to me, he says, this is less than the worth of the leaf in the mouth of a locust when it is chewing it. Nobody can give that description but Ali. Now think about it. A leaf being chewed by a locust. He says, in my views, that is more worthier than all these things of this dunya and the government that you have given to me. But that I establish justice and truth in the world. Salawat. And in that sense, indeed, Ali is the true Abd of Allah and the true Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have gathered tonight to commemorate the shahadat of that Abd and Wali of Allah. You know, when the world studies his life, now they long for him. Look at George Jordaq in his book, in Lebanon, where he says Ali is the voice of human justice. Loyal Khalil Gibran Khalil, when he writes that I have a complaint, serious complaint with Almighty God, that if you wanted to create a human being like Ali, why did you send him at that time? Because we in the 20th century need him more. And yes, to an extent, I agree with his statement, the first one. He says, people of the time of Ali did not appreciate him. Because Ali is on a very different level. Even his killer, according to Rasulullah, he was Ashqan Nas, the most wretched of the humankind. His heart was filled with the hatred towards this beloved Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even when it came to Ibn Muljim, this is where we see the greatness of Ali. Based on his own knowledge, special knowledge, he knew this is the person who has come with this intention. He actually was standing one day in the line where they used to distribute the monthly, you know, distribution for the people from Baitul Mal. And Ali looked at him and said to one of his companions, Yuridu qatli wa uridu hayatuhu. I want him to live, but he wants to kill me. And this companion says, then why don't you arrest him? He says, for what? I know his intention, but he has not done anything as yet. And that is the level that, you know, even when he was brought, Ibn Muljim, when he was caught and brought back to the masjid, while Ali was still there, surrounded by his sons and nephews and son-in-laws and other young people from Banu Hashim, Imam looked at Ibn Muljim and he says, was I not a good imam for you? What have you seen in me that you wanted to kill me? Was I not a good imam for you? And that's where he says to Imam Hassan, Remember, now he is our prisoner. And as a prisoner, it is our duty. You have to make sure that he is given food properly and on time. Look at his eyes. You can see there's fear in his eyes. And that's where Imam Hassan says, Baba, you are asking me to be kind to him? That's where Ali says, you are the grandson of Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Our levels are different. Our responsibilities are different. The expectation that Allah has from us are very different. Hazrat Ali Hussein, Imam Hussein, Amir al-Mu'mineen ko lihaf mein litaya gaya. اور اسی طرح سے گھر والے اٹھا کے علی کو اصحاب کے ساتھ ساتھ چلے ہیں. مسجد کوفہ سے علی کے گھر کا فاصلہ زیادہ نہیں ہے, لیکن تھوڑی دور پہنچنے کے بعد علی کہتے ہیں اصحاب سے کہو کہ وہ رک جائیں, اس لیے کہ ہم نہیں چاہتے ہیں کہ میری بیٹیوں کے رونے کی آواز ان تک پہنچے. مولا غیاث غالباً کوفے والوں کو یاد دلا رہے تھے, ایک زمانہ آئے گا کہ میری بیٹیاں اسیر اور قیدی بن کے آئیں گی. قلم نے ایک جملہ کہا تھا, اس کو ہم دہرانے میں کوئی قباحت نہیں ہے, کہ مسجد سے گھر تک ضربت لگنے کے بعد بھی علی روئے نہیں ہیں. بیٹوں کو تسلی دیتے رہے, انہیں روکتے رہے گے مت رو, اس لیے کہ بابا اس مرحلے پہ جا رہا ہے جس کی خواہش تھی. لیکن علی روئے ہیں جب انہوں نے زینب ام کلثوم کو دیکھا ہے. گھر کی خواتین انتظار میں تھی, آواز سن چکی تھی, خبر کر کوفہ میں پھیل چکی تھی. معلوم نہیں تھا کیا ہوا ہے بابا کے ساتھ. بڑی پریشان تھی, لیکن جب دروازے میں لایا گیا علی کو اور جو پٹی دیکھی ہے بابا کی پیشانی پر زینب ام کلثوم اور جناب رقیہ اور دوسری خواتین جو ہیں, وا محمدہ وا علیہ وا فاطمہ کا نعرہ بلند کر دیتی ہیں. عزداران حسین, انہی اصحاب میں سے ایک صحابی تھے جن کا نام ہے اسبق بن نباطہ, بہت قریبی تھے امام کے. امام نے منع کیا تھا کہ لوگ نہ آئیں, چلے جائیں, لیکن اسبق کی اس محبت نے اجازت نہیں دی کہ وہ چھوڑ دے مولا کو. دروازہ جب گھر کا بند ہو گیا تو اسبق آ کے دروازے پہ بیٹھ گئے. غالباً جب طبیب بلایا گیا اور اس نے جب معائنہ کیا ہے اس زخم کا جہاں ضرب لگی تھی, یہ وہیں پہ ہے جہاں عمر بن ابن ود نے جو ہے اپنا وار کیا تھا علی پر, اور اس وقت طبیب نے کہا تھا کہ اے علی, اس تلوار میں زہر تھا اور وہ زہر کا اثر جو ہے آپ کے مغز تک, برین تک پہنچ چکا ہے, اس کا کوئی علاج اور مداوا نہیں ہے, لہذا ہم چاہیں گے کہ آپ اپنی وصیتیں شروع کر دیں. اور اس وقت جو کوہرام بپا ہے ہوا ہے گھر کے اندر, آواز بلند ہوئی ہے اسبق بن نباطہ کے کان تک جاتی ہے. وہ بندہ صبر نہ کر سکا, وہ بھی چیخ کے رونے لگا. امام حسن آتے ہیں اور کہتے ہیں اسبق, تو نے سنا نہیں ہے کہ بابا نے کہا ہے چلے جاؤ؟ اسبق نے کہا کہ میرا دل نہیں مانتا ہے, میرے لیے اجازت لو تاکہ ہم ایک بار اور مولا کو دیکھ سکے. زداران حسین, امام حسن جاتے ہیں, علی نے اجازت دی. اسبق بن نباطہ کی روایت ہے, ہم جب گئے ہیں اندر اور مولا کے کیفیت کو دیکھا ہے کہ پٹی کے نمن کا رنگ جو ہے اور جو چمڑے کا رنگ تھا جو پیشانی کا رنگ تھا تقریباً ایک ہو چکا تھا اور اس وقت ہم نے رونا شروع کیا, قدموں کا بوسا لیا بستر پہ. اس وقت علی نے کہا اصبح کیوں رو رہے ہو, تیرا مولا تو اب جو ہے بہتری کی طرف جا رہا ہے. اس وقت ازبک نے کہا تھا کہ مولا ہم آپ کے لیے نہیں رو رہے ہیں, ہم تو اپنے لیے رو رہے ہیں کہ میرے ہمارے بعد کون رہے. شب اکیس آئی, علی نے گھر والوں کو جمع کیا اور کچھ اہم اصحاب بھی ساتھ رہے تھے, سلیم بن قیس بھی وہاں موجود تھے, اور علی نے اپنی وصیتیں شروع کی اور اس وصیت کو سلیم بن قیس نے روایت کی ہے, شیخ خلینی نے ان کی روایت سے اصول کافی میں اس کو کوٹ کیا ہے. امام کا جو حکم ہوتا ہے, جو نصیحتیں ہوتی ہیں بعد والے امام کے لیے, وہ یہی کہتے ہیں اپنے بیٹے حسن سے کہ رسول اسلام نے مجھ سے کہا تھا کہ جتنے تبرکات ہیں امامت کے, جو صحیفے ہیں, جو کتاب ہے, یہ سب جو ہیں آخر وقت میں ہم تمہیں دیں, اور ہم تمہیں وصیت کرتے ہیں کہ جب تمہارا وقت آئے گا تو ان تمام تبرکات کو اپنے بھائی حسین کو دینا. پھر حسین سے کہتے ہیں کہ جب تمہارا آخری وقت آئے تو وصیت کر دینا کہ یہ تمہارے بیٹے علی زین العابدین کو ملے. اس وقت علی زین العابدین 4 سال کے تھے, کوفہ میں اپنے دادا کے شہادت کے وقت موجود تھے. اور پھر امام زین العابدین سے کہتے ہیں کہ بیٹا جب تمہارا آخری وقت آئے تم اپنے بیٹے محمد کے حوالے کرنا, اور رسول اور میرا سلام بھی اپنے بیٹے محمد کو پہنچا. پھر نصیحتیں شروع کرتے ہیں کہ دیکھو میرے بعد مظالم بہت ہوں گے, حسن تمہیں زہر دیا جائے گا, حسین تمہیں قتل کیا جائے گا, زینب ام کلثوم تمہیں اسیر اور قیدی بنایا جائے گا, تمہاری چادروں کو لوٹا جائے گا, لیکن نصیحت ہے کہ خدا کی خاطر صبر سے کام لینا. الصباح 21 کے جو دن آیا ہے, امیر المومنین کے پیشانی پر اب جو ہے پسینہ شروع ہو گیا, اور امیر المومنین ادھر ادھر دیکھتے ہیں, پھر اپنے بچوں سے کہتے ہیں کہ دیکھو میرا وقت آ چکا ہے, رسول اللہ آ چکے ہیں, میرے چچا حمزہ آ چکے ہیں, میرے بھائی جعفر آ چکے ہیں, تمہاری والدہ فاطمہ آ چکی ہے. عزاداران حسین, بس اللہ کا نام لیتے لیتے تھوڑی دیر اہل بیت نے دیکھا کہ علی خدا کا وہ ولی اب خاموش ہو گیا. اس ولی کی روح جو ہے رب بزرگوار کی طرف جا چکی. عزاداران حسین, 21 ہی کو جو وصیت تھی امیر المومنین کی کہ دیکھو 3 تابوت بنائے جائیں, 3 الگ الگ سمت میں اسے روانہ کیا جائے, لیکن جب مجمع کم ہو جائے, جب بالکل خاموشی میں میرے لاش کو, میرے تابوت کو اٹھانا, سرانے کوئی نہ رہے, وہاں ملائکہ ہوں گے جو اٹھائیں گے, اور یہ پبلک کو نہ بتایا جائے. عزاداران حسین, اسی خاموشی کے ساتھ اپنے اہل بیت اور خاص اصحاب کے ساتھ علی کا یہ جنازہ اٹھا ہے, اور وہ مقام جسے اب نجف کہتے ہیں وہاں جاتے ہیں, دیکھتے ہیں قبر جو ہے تیار پڑی ہوئی تھی. دفن کرنے کے بعد
امام حسین علیہ السلام اور اہل بیت سب گرد کھڑے ہو جاتے ہیں. سب ان سوہان امام کے ایک صحابی تھے, وہ کھڑے ہوتے ہیں, اس قبر سے ایک مٹی ایک ہاتھ میں مٹی اٹھاتے ہیں, اپنے سر پر ڈالنے کے بعد ایک مرثیہ پڑھتے ہیں, اہل بیت کو تسلی دیتے ہیں. دوران حسین, لیکن یہ جنازہ اس طرح سے کیوں اٹھا تھا؟ عجیب و غریب یہ ظلم ہے اہل بیت پر. فاطمہ کا جنازہ بھی تاریخ یہ شب میں اٹھا. ہزاروں کی تعداد میں مسلمان مدینہ میں تھے, لیکن تابوت اٹھا ہے فاطمہ کا بس کچھ لوگوں کے سہارے سے. اور کوفہ میں بھی مسلمانوں کی تعداد ہزاروں میں تھی, لیکن علی کا جنازہ بھی مظلومیت کے عنوان سے اٹھا ہے, اس لیے کہ خطرہ تھا کہ خوارج کو اگر معلوم ہو جائے یہ علی کی قبر کو بھی نبش کر کے علی کے لاش کی بھی بے حرمتی کر. امام زین العابدین کم سنی میں اس منظر کو دیکھ رہے ہیں. جناب زینب نے یہ باتیں سنی ہے, یقیناً کربلا سے روانہ ہوتے وقت یہ بات یاد آئی ہوگی کہ ماں کا جنازہ اٹھا تھا کم لوگوں کے درمیان ہی سہی, بابا کا جنازہ بھی اٹھا تھا کم لوگوں کے بھی سہارے سے, لیکن ہائے میرا بھائی حسین, اس کے لاش کو بے گور و کفن کربلا میں ہم چھوڑ کے جا رہے ہیں. ماتم حسین.